dear beloved of the Lord Jesus and dear friends. In today's sermon, we are looking into the account of blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, here on the highway side of the highway that went in and out of Jericho in Mark's Gospel 10:46 through to the end of the chapter. And so I've entitled today's sermon, The Highway of Life. The Highway of Life. In verse 46, we see the Lord Jesus entering into Jericho with his disciples, as it says, and they came to Jericho, 46, that well-known city, that famous city of Jericho in Joshua's conquest, as it were, well-fortified city. In Deuteronomy, it talks about Jericho being the city of palm trees, because it had many springs. It was not far from the Dead Sea. And so it was a beautiful city. No doubt it was a city of much trade and commerce. Many well-to-do people would have made their residence and their abode in Jericho. And of course we have the son of Timaeus here, on the highway side, knowing that such people would come in and out of Jericho. And so Jericho, that famous city, this is where the Lord Jesus comes. And they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And so you can imagine the scene, can't you? The Lord Jesus Christ coming out of Jericho, that great city, those broad gates, that broad highway road leading in and out of Jericho. And there, as it were, on the highway side, on the wayside, as it were, was the son of Timaeus. And you can imagine the scene, this great swelling crowd following the Lord Jesus. And they no doubt would have heard of his divinity. They would have heard of all the miracles that he had done. And this great swelling crowd would have been crowded around, and many people would have come out to see, spectators, as it were, would have come out to see. And so there would have been a great swelling crowd, a great number of people, it says here. And there is, the text says, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And so here he is, this poor beggar man, blind man, sat by at the mercy of anyone who would show pity upon him. He couldn't see. He just relied upon the pity and mercy of others. And it says here, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. And so you eagle-eyed amongst us would notice that actually his name is not Bartimaeus. The bar here is an Aramaic. What the text is saying here is this is the son of Timaeus. The son of Timaeus, as it were. That's what it's doing here. It's repeating itself twice. And so whenever scripture highlights a passage like this, saying, this is the son of Timaeus. The son of Timaeus. What it's doing here is bringing it into our attention. This blind man, we don't know his name, but we know his father's name, who is Timaeus. Now, Timaeus, we don't know from Holy Scripture. We don't know who he was. But we do know that he was a man of worthy note. We know he was a man that it's named twice here, was a man worthy to be named. This is the son of Timaeus. This blind man here, who we don't know his name of, he was the son of Timaeus, a man of note worthy, perhaps a man of character, perhaps someone who would have had been known throughout Jericho and perhaps further beyond as someone who perhaps was someone of character. Perhaps he was a local politician. Perhaps he was a businessman. Remember, this the The city of Jericho was not far from the Dead Sea. It would have attracted a lot of business, a lot of trade, as it were. This would have been a busy highway road going in and out of Jericho. And so this man, Timaeus, we don't know who he was, but we know that he was an important man, perhaps a well-known man, as it were. And yet, here is his son, as it were. We don't know the name of his son. He's nameless, as it were, but what we do know of him is he's blind and he's begging, as it were. And perhaps he was one who was brought up and was given all the privileges of a godly home, as it were. Perhaps he was brought up in the scriptures, and so he knew the scriptures. Some commentators think that he was, Timaeus as well, was a blind man. So he was the son of a blind man. Whatever it is that Timaeus was a well-known man. And so the text carries on and says in verse 47, "And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.'" And so here he is, this nameless man. We know his father's name, but we don't know his name. This poor blind man, but he hears the Lord Jesus. He perhaps overhears people talking. This is Jesus of Nazareth. This is who John the Baptist spoke about. This is the Son of God. They talked about his divinity. They talked about the miracles that he had done. And so when he hears that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, says the text, and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And so we see him here, this poor beggar man at the side of this broad highway road, as it were, going in and out of Jericho. And this big swelling crowd, and no doubt many people are around Jesus, all trying to vie for his attention. And he is sat by, as it were, blind. And he hears that it's Jesus, and he cries out and says, "Thou son of David, thou son of David, have mercy upon me." And so what is he saying here? He believes that this is the prophesied Savior. He believes that this is the Messiah that is spoken about in the Old Testament that would come through the line of David, the prophesied Messiah. And so he knows his scripture, but like I said before, perhaps he was a bit of a prodigal. Perhaps he went astray, as it were, with his life. And now, as it were, perhaps he went off uncertain riches. And he had fallen from the family that he was in. And now he's up on the wayside, as it were. Now he's begging, blind, on the highway of life. And he's calling out to the Lord Jesus, "Thou son of David, I know you are the Christ. I know you are the prophesied Messiah. Have mercy on me." He's not asking for money. He's asking for mercy. And then verse 48 says of God's most holy word, "And many charged him that he should hold his peace. And he cried the more, a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.'" And so we see here his persistence. "And many charged him that he should hold his peace." And so you can imagine the scene. Listen, we don't even know your name. We know that you're the son of Timaeus. You're a prodigal, as it were. Look how you've ruined your life. You're the son of Timaeus, the son of Timaeus. And look what you've done. Hold your peace. You're not worthy, as it were, to keep on calling after him. You're the son of Timaeus. Now look at you. Now look what's become of your life. There was high expectations of you, but now look, you're begging on the side of the road. You went after uncertain riches. You went after all these things, and now look at you. Hold your peace. You're a rebel. You're a prodigal, as it were. As Hillary Clinton said of Trump supporters, "You're irredeemable. There's no hope for you anymore. Hold your peace. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. And dear friends, isn't this true in the spiritual warfare? There will be many, many people who will discourage us from the things of God, who will try to take us away from the things of God. There's a spiritual warfare. There's a light and there's a darkness. There's a good and there's an evil. And many people will try to discourage us from that narrow way, from trusting in the Savior. Many institutions will try to put you off. And they said, and just like I said here, many charged him. Perhaps many, like the Pharisees and the Sadducees and perhaps the rich people that were spoken about in the previous chapters, were saying, "Be quiet, thou son of Timaeus. Be quiet, thou son of Timaeus. Thou son of Timaeus, look what's become of your life. You've been careless with your life. Look what's become of you now. You were given all the privileges, and now look at you. Now look what's become of you." And so they charged him that he should hold his peace. "You're a prodigal, you're a rebel, you're not worthy to come after the Lord Jesus. You've made a waste of your life. And what would Jesus have to do with you?" And you see, you get the sense here that the many charged him that he should hold his peace. But what does the text say? It says, "But he cried the more a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy upon me.'" He cried the more. They're discouraging of him. They're trying to put him off, as it were, from calling upon the Lord, who he believed to be the Christ, the Messiah. They were trying to put him off, and yet that encouraged him even more. Yes, he knows that he has not lived a life that he ought to have lived. Yes, perhaps he had fallen from grace. He had been given all his privileges in his life. And now he is calling upon the Lord. No man has mercy upon him. And so he's calling upon the Lord. He's crying unto him a great deal more. "Thou son of David, have mercy upon me." He's not asking for money. He's asking for mercy. He knows that he's in the wrong, as it were. But everyone's trying to discourage him. Not that the disciples, I believe, that those perhaps religious elite, those rich and all those well-to-do, trying to put him off, as it were. And it says in the next text, in verse 49, "And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called." And this is such a great blessing, isn't it? That amongst the swelling crowd and the dirt of this highway, and he sat there with his garment, and all the dirt being kicked up and the dust of that highway road, with all the donkeys, all the carts going in and out of the city, with all the commerce and the swelling crowd, and perhaps they're going further and further away from this poor beggar man, as it were. And he's calling, "Our son of David, have mercy upon me. I know that you're the Christ. I know that you're the Savior. I know you can save me from my sins." And they're trying to discourage him from believing, from persisting. What happens here? The Lord Jesus stood still. The Lord Jesus stood still. Hold on a second. Amongst the crowd, the pushing, all trying to get to buy for the Lord Jesus' attention. Hold on a second. The Lord Jesus, he's still. "I hear one of my sheep calling. I hear one of my sheep crying unto me. I hear them." He stood still amongst all the crowd. "I hear one of my sheep," the good shepherd says. Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And commanded him to be called. And this is such a wonderful thing. Amidst all the discouragement, all the trying to put him off, as it were, the Lord Jesus commanded him to be called. He is called of the Lord Jesus. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, and I believe the "they" here, spoken about here, are his disciples, the disciples of the Lord Jesus, not the many spoken about previously. It's the disciples. The many, I believe, previously were the rich, the elite, as it were, the people that made their abode in Jericho, the Pharisees, they put him off. You're not worthy. But the disciples, I believe, and they call the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee. Be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee. The Lord Jesus calls you. Be of good comfort. Be of comfort. Do you know who's calling you? And verse 50 goes on to say, and he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. He, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. You know, that garment that he had was everything that he had in this life. He was by the wayside, by the high wayside. That garment would have been there protecting him from the dirt and the dust, as it were. It would have been keeping him from the heat of the noonday, to have that garment over him from the blistering heat of the noonday. That garment also would have protected him in the cold of the night in that desert-like land. That garment would have been everything to him. And no doubt that garment was weathered and tattered. It was filthy. And perhaps that garment was given to him by his father. I'm speculating now. But perhaps that garment was given to him by his father. And when it was given, it was brand new, as it were. And yet, he had fallen from grace. He perhaps had been like the prodigal. And now he's ended up. And that garment, he tried the broken systems of this world. He went after uncertain riches. He went as a sheep that went astray, as it were. Went after these things of this world. And that same garment had ended up being filthy and weathered and dirty, as it were. And the only thing he had, really, to protect him from the elements and from the dirt of the road, it says here, he cast it away, as it were. He cast away. I'm done with it. I'm done with it. Because I've got Jesus now. That's the sense. This is everything I have in this life. I'm done with it now. Be gone, as it were. And he rose and came to Jesus. What a picture here, isn't it, of the Lord Jesus when he calls a sinner to himself. They cast away everything. This garment, as it were, I cast it all off. I cast it away because I've got Jesus in my life. And there's only one way, isn't there, dear friends, when you've got Jesus in your life. And that's up, isn't it? And that's exactly what he did. He rose and came to Jesus. That's only one way when someone is called up the Lord God. They cast it all away. The filthy rags of this life, the things that I have given myself to, I cast them away. I'm done with it. And I've got Jesus. I've got the Savior. I've got the Christ, the Messiah. He's everything to me. And yes, I may be rejected. People say there's no hope for me, but I've got the Lord Jesus. And that's the sense here that we have. And verse 51 goes on to say, and Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Does Jesus say, what do you need? What do you need to get right with me? Do you need to do this and this and this to get right with me? He doesn't say that, does he? He says, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? In other words, I will save you. I can do that. Not you, I will. What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And the blind man saith unto him, Lord, Lord, that I might receive my sight. We see the reverence here. He considers the Lord Jesus the Christ, the Savior, his Savior. He considers him, he is my Lord. He says, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Why does he want to receive his sight here? Well, the answer is given in verse 52. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. That's why he wanted his sight. And as soon as he received his sight, what did he do? He followed Jesus in the way. That's what he did when he received his sight. He not only received his physical sight, as it were, he didn't say when he received his sight, right, I'm gonna get back onto the bandwagon, as it were. I've been hit by providence, as it were, as many people do, in sickness and in many things happen. I'm gonna get back on it. I'm gonna try to get rich again. I'm gonna try and give myself to the things of this world again. And many people do that, as it were. No, not this man. This man is called of Jesus. And immediately he received his sight. And what did he do? He followed Jesus in the way. He followed Jesus in the way. Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. He could have gone his own way, but he followed Jesus in the way. He was made whole again. He was made whole. He was but half a man. Not only he was blind, but he was spiritually blind as well. And there were many people on that highway that day, weren't there? There was a great crowd of people, and many people on that highway. Many people from different walks of life. But only a few of them followed the Lord Jesus. Only a few of them heard of the Lord Jesus and truly believed and followed Christ. And those gates of Jericho on that broad road that led to them would have lured many to the prospect of riches and pleasures and worldly honors. Many people sought it. And perhaps he was one that sought all these things. And by providence, he ended up on the highway side. On the wayside, parallel passages in Scripture teach us that it was the wayside. And we know by God's word, the wayside is referring to the seed, the word of God. Some seeds fell on the wayside. Perhaps he knew the Scriptures, being brought up in the Scriptures, but he never truly embraced them. He never truly sought the Lord with all his heart. But now the seed, the word of God, has fallen upon the good ground. Now he's believing. Now he's crying out for mercy to the Lord God. And yet all these things that we give ourselves to, they're all an illusion. They can never truly satisfy the longing soul. As God's word says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Many people, dear friends, are like that highway. Many people have no concern for their soul. They do not cry out to the Lord for mercy. Are truly crying out, persistently crying out, seeking the Lord on that broad way. The many distractions in this life. Have you cried out to the Lord? Have you truly cried out and sought the Lord to be saved, to become a Christian? You see, this man, who we don't really know his name, we know his father's name, he was the son of Timaeus. The son of Timaeus. We don't know his name, and there'd be many amongst us. Nameless in the society. I just think I don't have a purpose in life, as it were. I'm like a number in the society. I feel all alone. And I'm just following the crowd, as it were. I'm just giving myself to the broken systems of this world. And on the highway of life, just being tossed about, as it were. And dear friends, it's only a matter of time before you crash. It is only a matter of time before you crash. Because all of us, sickness comes to us, disappointment comes to all of us. Just like it did with this man. We all come, spiritually speaking, to a sense that we become beggars. There is a point where we all will be brought low, as it were. And we need to be like this man, casting it all upon the Lord, crying unto the Lord Jesus, crying unto him, casting your burdens upon to him. You know, this was me for many years, a slave to my sin. That's all I knew, was just being a slave to my sin. Just being a slave to my impulses, as it were, just following the crowd on the highway of life. That's all I knew until the Lord Jesus called me on that blessed day. And you know, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about when the Lord Jesus calls you. When you cried unto him and he gave you faith and repentance and a heart of flesh where the good seed, the word of God, fell upon it and took root and you believed. And the new nature happened, born of the Holy Spirit of God. Has that happened? Has that truly happened? Do you have a joy in your heart? Do you truly love the Lord? Have you been called of God? Or are you on the highway of life, as it were? It's going to come all tumbling down. It's going to crash, as it were, like it did with this poor man. He no doubt, by the seams of it, was from a noteworthy family. But here he is. And it happens to every one of us. I remember, specifically for me, I heard the gospel when I was young many times, and I thought I was a Christian. But I went off away, as it were, kept on going down that broad road, just wanting what everyone else wanted in the world, never truly seeking the Lord, never persisting in the things of God, never truly crying unto the Lord, giving it my all, crying unto him. Have you been called of God? Will you hearken to the voice of the Lord Jesus this day? The Lord, it says, that they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. We're sick. We're full of sin. And we need to be like this poor beggar man. I hope and pray that every one of us, by God's grace, will know of our depravity. We'll be shown that we are a beggar. We're a slave to our sin. That's all we know of. And we need to cry out to the Lord for grace and for mercy. Dear friend, I hope and pray this is the case for each and every one of us.
Oh.